Hi, welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the show that deals with all things Mac. Clues in the title. I'm Ewan Rankin, and we're here to discuss, and just as I start, freaking Andy disappears off the video again. Oh, he's back, cool. We can carry on. As long as you freeze, dude, just don't go anywhere. That's the key part. We're going to discuss the week in Apple News. Joining me, I have the fantastic starting lineup, the original members of the Bagel Tech Mac cast. Mr. Don McAllister, top left. Hello, buddy.
Hello, Ewan. Hi, how's it going?
It's excellent. We got sparkly, brand new, super gorgeous video going on, thanks to my mate JD in the chat room.
Yeah, it looks absolutely brilliant. It's quite an improvement over the usual video quality. I mean, the quality of the feed's fantastic.
Sorry, you could say the old stuff was crap. I don't mind.
No.
It was ill-conceived, ill-educated, incompetent crap. That'll just about cover it,
I think. It's a bit smudgy, but it looks really brilliant and sharp now, so that's
You're
good.
A good guy. Thank you, mate. Week been good, or...?
Yeah, very good.
Caught up on
some
the jet lag.
News, which I'm sure we'll get onto. So I've been sort of looking at all the comments and the wailing and the moaning and having to play myself to see what I think.
I know it was coming once you'd given you permission, mate.
Yeah, well, I said the day before, didn't I? I said,
you did. Apple clearly listening. When are you going to give go-ahead on the new campus? Is that...
Pardon?
When are you going to give go-ahead on the new campus?
Oh, once I've smacked that senator around or wherever it was. Did you see that video?
What, it's free Wi-Fi?
No, the other one that was showing Steve Jobs an iPad and how much he used it.
Oh,
I'm sure
right.
That really went down well, you know.
Well, that's the idea, says Steve. Next in, we've got Carl Swagger from the Philippines. Mr. Wet Boy, how's it going?
Very wet for the last 2 days.
Dude, save on the water bill. Just go outside and shower.
No, I wouldn't recommend that. Too much pollution.
Excellent. We've got a comment from the chat room that they're not getting any ads at the moment. Last night, for some reason, Ustream decided to give us ads every 10 minutes. So they're on a final warning today.
That's how popular we are.
Well, maybe true. Maybe because we've got more people in the chat room now. They're leaving us alone. Busy week for you, I take it, based on the fact there's been hardly any tweets.
Yeah, I pretty much have been a recluse from Twitter this week. Yeah, it's been a very, very busy week, but ready for the weekend, that's
excellent.
For sure. Get caught up on some sleep.
Next to him, below him rather, we've got busy at a customer's premises. Are they paying you for this hour, Andy?
I think perhaps inverting the client for the hour that I'm on Skype might not go down too well. I might have to take this as a lunch break.
You might.
Yes, I've been network cabling and dusting and things all morning and sorting out some server VPN issues. And I've been very kindly lent the Wi-Fi and network connections from a lovely design agency called Freeman Christie, who are in Burford, Oxfordshire. And I know one of the directors is signed up to listen to the podcast.
So
I could encourage all our lovely listeners to go and have a look at Freeman Christie.
Hello, Freeman Christie. Hello, director who listens to the podcast. Thank you very much. If you want to give us some sponsorship, we need a video wall. Now we've got all this slick video. We need something that's powerful enough to not make it jump. Next to him, a very welcome return after a sustained absence, Mr. Will Green.
Hello, Sonia.
What have you been up to, dude?
Last Friday I was working, which was made a pleasant change. And what was I doing the Friday? I was 40.
Birthday.
What I was doing the Friday before.
You've forgotten already. See, that's what happens when you turn 40, mate. Your memory goes.
Like on the close-up now, can you bring it back to the quarter? Because I've got a great idea.
There you go. Done.
Right, okay. If I stand up, the bottom half of me can be... No, the top up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, go on, stand up. Stand up, dude.
I can become Don.
You have to get a bit higher. Higher. There we go.
If I get down lower a bit.
Bit to your right. Bit to your right. Bit to your right. Bit to your right. No, you're right, dude. You're right.
That's it.
That's your left, you idiot.
See, it's... Okay, now that's it.
Yeah, now go back to your left a bit. You're too far.
Is it?
Left,
is
left, left.
Bit?
Left, 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 left. Come on, I don't want to have
Don's
to edit this
right.
Left,
cool.
Left, left,
just
left,
just
left, 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 left. Now things. up, straight up. There we go. Hey. Ish.
This is all going to work out in the edit.
Yeah, it's fascinating for the people on the audio stream. So.
Oh, there we go.
You see, this new video thing of yours is fantastic.
I couldn't agree more.
It opens up all sorts of possibilities.
I think actually when they made Screencast, not Screencast, when they made Wirecast, I think that's exactly what they were looking for. That's why it's so flexible and juvenile. I mean, versatile. The Week in Mac. It's been a week where there's actually been some Mac news. This is 2 weeks running. What's been happening?
I don't know. I don't want to get too excited. It might go away.
We've had a whole pile of other stuff with Nokia getting some cash out of Apple for patents that are supposedly come along. We've also got Final Cut Pro X has come out. We've got a new backup system in Time Capsule at 3 terabytes and 2 terabytes, but a little bit pricey, it has to be said. And there's been a whole load of peripheral devices come out as well as. So where shall we start? Shall we do the big one, Final Cut Pro?
Mm-hmm.
How's the reception for Final Cut Pro? Because it's been a kind of it's been a bit luke, hasn't it? To be said in the press.
I think that's being kind. I think it's been disastrous for the pros anyway. There's been lots of gnashing and wailing that people really don't like the new version of Final Cut Pro, but mainly from the pro community. I think. Prosumers. I mean, and I'll put my cards on the table. I don't consider myself a pro user, even though I use video for my day job. I'm not really doing sort of standard video production. So lots of the problems and the comments and the disappointments, I think, more than anything else, are coming from people who do sort of have quite complex sort of post-production pipelines and have to integrate with customers and integrate with all sorts of fancy gear. But I don't really, although I can fully empathize with what people are saying about it, because basically, we just roll back a minute. What they've basically done with Final Cut Pro 10 is to rewrite the application from scratch. So all the legacy code that was in Final Cut, which is, you know, quite a popular video editing package, it's an industry standard editing package that, you know, people have been using for years. They've basically just parked that to one side and given video editors a brand new application, which has been rewritten from the ground up. And there's lots of new technology in there. It's basically a new foundation for them to build on. But in doing that, they've actually sort of left people behind, left some of the functionality behind. They do say temporarily they're going to bring it back in, but it's very much like, when they moved from the original iMovie to the new iMovie, the people really didn't get it and there were things missing and it took them about 3 years to actually catch up. So we're in a similar position to Final Cut Pro 10.
Personally speaking, are you happier or not bothered or less happy?
Personally, I'm happier. There's more in there for me now. Basically, I'm never ever going to use Final Cut Pro 10 to edit my old stuff. It's only going to be for new stuff, which is a good thing because you can't actually bring old projects into it. It's not even compatible at that level. So if you're sort of working on a project, you can't suddenly just switch across to Final Cut Pro and carry on working on it, Pro 10. But you would never do that with a new version of Final Cut Pro anyway. So it's really sort of leaving the old behind and moving forward with the new. I mean, I've used it this morning just to do a very simple trailer for this week's show. And, it was great. There were some really complex things in there, which I've never been able to do before, which I was able to do within 2 or 3 minutes. So that was good.
Will's taking this very seriously.
Yeah, I'm sort of getting a bit spooked.
You are not a number.
Will forgot what show he's on. I think he thinks he's on Unexplained.
Some comments in the chat room already. I mean, this is the end for Final Cut for pros. Kev says, or an ultimate, a new beginning, perhaps. Sure, it's the iMovie thing all over, but you can't do that with the professionals. They'll just move away somewhere else. But where are they going to move to? If they're invested in Final Cut, originally Final Cut Pro, I mean, they've still got that and it still functions and it still works and presumably there's going to be support for it for a while to come.
Well, that's right, because people were saying on the first day that it was, you know, they were, that's really spooky seeing that big eye looking at me like that.
They haven't
left Final Cut Pro 7. You can still use it, you're still going to have to use it. For the first time, you can run both applications on the same kit. So you don't have to have a separate kit. It doesn't overwrite your original installation. So, you know, you can sort of keep working with the traditional Final Cut Pro until you're ready to move across. Either you're ready to move across to the new version or the new version has been updated so that it's got the features that you need in and you can actually start using it then. But, there are alternatives. There's Avid and Adobe Do Premiere as well, which are alternative packages, which I'm sure some people will jump ship to. But, some people will stick it out and take advantage of the new features in Final Cut Pro 10.
Go ahead, Carl.
I kind of want to know how, since Don's really the only one that's taken the leap, because I haven't, because I'm so used, you know, when you get a piece of software and you learn it and you love it and then they change it, you know, this is kind of how I feel right now. And I want to kind of know from Don, is it? Do you feel like you've moved up? Do you feel like it's retained some of, you know, some of the old feeling from Final Cut Pro, you know, the first? Or did you have to relearn everything? I mean, that's kind of what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, some of the basic concepts are the same, but there is an awful lot to relearn. I mean, all your keyboard commands still should be there. They might be in a slightly different position. Lots of the features that you come to expect are still there, but you have to go looking for them this time because, you know, they're in different menu structures or there's a different way of doing it. Mm-hmm. The whole magnetic timeline is a bit off-putting as well, especially if you're used to... I mean, the thing is with Final Cut Pro and why it's caused so much upset is, as you say, people use it day in, day out. For some people, it is their job, you know, they actually use Final Cut Pro as a living and they've become intimately familiar with it, familiar with all the keystrokes. They've got it customized exactly how they want it. They've got peripherals that they've configured that will, you know, make it fly basically. And when you get the new version of Final Cut Pro, you've basically got to start again. You know, it's like looking at a brand new application and all that sort of muscle memory that you've gained and all that knowledge of how the old program used to work sort of dissipates, and it's a big effort to actually get into the new package.
So particularly based on the screenshots of the GUI that I've seen, one of my perceptions has been that this has moved back closer towards iMovie than it has stayed towards the Final Cut Pro end as it was. And I got a sense of the fact that it had been dumbed down, but clearly what you're saying is this is not dumbed down. This is the other way.
Yeah. It's definitely not dumbed down. Yes, they have taken some style issues. I mean, basically, a lot of the foundation work, I would imagine, had been done when they actually created iMovie. You know, because the underlying technology, the video handling and the foundation AV stuff is all there. So like iMovie is the new sort of basic level, but Final Cut Pro, no, they've certainly brought lots of the really complex and quite involved bits across into Final Cut Pro 10, but they've made it easier to use at the same time. So I think it's one of those applications whereby you can use it at different levels. So if you want to use it as an iMovie replacement with just some extra functionality, you can do. But if you're a pro user and you really want to get into it, you know, there's hidden depths in there. There's lots of things that are sort of popping up and surprising me.
Right, good. There's a comment in the chat room that says it's iMovie Pro.
It sounds like it. It kind of sounds like, I mean, are we going to see another version of Final Cut that's, or not even called Final Cut? Are we going to see something else? Because to me, it sounds, what I'm hearing from Don, yeah, a pro can use this, but will a pro feel satisfied with it? Will they have the same feeling that he had before? There's no question about it that it definitely looks better than the previous version, but it makes me wonder if Apple's working on something else.
I mean, you have to bear in mind most, and I think I'm right in saying this, most of the criticisms that have come to do with Final Cut Pro 10 have been to do with its integration. Well, one with its media management, they sort of simplified the media management. So they have this concept now of an event library, similar to iMovie, where you can sort of get all your clips. But in some respects, that's quite good, because instead of having to specifically import media into separate projects, you basically have this huge media library now that you can just pull in bits of media from anywhere at any time into a project. So that's a plus, but you know, it takes a little bit of sort of getting your head around that as to how that's going to work moving forward, especially in the pro environment. But I think most of the criticisms have been to do with interfacing to other applications. I think one of the big things is the export functions. You know, there's no support for tapeless. For tape devices, which there is. You can actually bring stuff in from a tape video, but it's the output side of it. How do you output it to Pro Tools, and how do you output it to various other bits of equipment that people have? Pogue did a good article yesterday about, you know, some of the main problems that people have seen with Final Cut Pro 10 and actually responded to some of those and said, this is how you would actually do it. I don't know when he got some input from Apple on that, but, you know, there was about 10 points that seemed to be the main sticking points for the pro users, and he sort of knocked them off one by one. And they've said that there is things that they're actually going to bring in. They haven't brought in, like multicam. You know, you can't do a multicam shoot at the moment, which is quite a major thing if you're a pro house.
Especially with Thunderbolt.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's coming on the way. There's no way they could have from scratch. There's no way they could have completely replicated all the functionality in Final Cut Pro, the original version, in a brand new application. We would have been waiting another 3 or 4 years. So what they've done now is said, right, here you go. This is version 1 of Final Cut Pro 10. It's got, you know, 90% of the things that you'll need in. It's actually got more than the original Final Cut Pro had. But, you know, there are additional things we need to bring in. They will come in over time. In fact, it's easier for them to actually... Apparently, it's easier for them to update it now because you can get it to the Mac App Store. They can push updates out very, very easily. So, you know, I think it's going to take, if you look back in, say, about another 2 or 3 months, once people have actually had time to sit down and relearn some of the core components, I think you'll probably hear a much different story.
I think there's some points in the chat room here that it opens iMovie projects, old iMovie projects, but not old Final Cut projects. And a good point from Mac Bits, you know, it sounds like a deal breaker, but I think there's what I was thinking just at that point. If this had come out at $1,000, then I think you'd have been a lot of really seriously pissed off people. The fact it's come out at 179,
yeah,
then that's kind of quelled that deal breaker element of it.
Yeah, well, plus it doesn't stop you using Final Cut Pro 7. You know, you can still use that application. You don't have to migrate all your old stuff. It's going to be a bit of a pain for people who say, you know, take a long time in doing a project, and they're going to have to stick with Final Cut 7 if they've already started a project, or if they're not confident to start a new project in Final Cut Pro 10. But, you know, the video landscape's always been like that. You know, if you're in the middle of a project, you don't upgrade your editing package. You just don't. Sometimes you don't even upgrade your Mac. There's people still probably on, you know, older Macs that have a pro video setup set up, and they really don't want to do anything about it. So,
any comments from you, Will?
Not really. No, I think it's good.
I mean, you've used Final Cut Pro and taught Final Cut Pro previously, yes. But.
What can I say? Well, it used to confuse the hell out of me. So hopefully it's not as confusing as it used to be. I've never been a huge fan of Final Cut. I downloaded the new version of Motion, again, which is really reasonably priced. And
£30's great, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not hugely different, I didn't think. It's a bit darker, the interface is a bit darker, but other than that, it's very similar to the old version. But I always found the old version and the new version quite easy to work with, but I always found Final Cut a little bit tricky. The way I see it is, in the same way that Apple are pushing people away from enterprise in their server realm and try to encourage small home users and small businesses to use their server software, because there's a lot more of them than enterprises, or a lot more revenue available. It's the same with something like Final Cut. I think they're trying to expand the sort of market share into guys who are working from home. Maybe they're happy to, they've got some home video and that they want to have a mess around with that. It's a sort of similar price to what Final Cut Express used to be. Functionality is superb for those chaps. And I think it's just Apple's move away from the pro and the enterprise side of the market, and then trying to sort of there's more home users or sort of semi pro users out there than there is super pro users. Leave the pro users with Avid and let everybody else use Final Cut.
Any thoughts, Andy?
Yeah, well, I think that it's interesting that you've got such a disparate video market, and you know, at the one end you've got the BBC and people like that, which have got their own systems, and perhaps, you know, Final Cut Pro 10 isn't going to have much of an impact on how they work, because they, as Will said, they'll be using Avid, they'll be using their own workflows and things. But what Apple have done, I guess, with the price is really interesting, is that they affect, if you're a small video production company or you're an ad agency that is thinking, well, we could get into producing video for our clients and things, you know, the price drop is amazing. Plus, also, when you factor in that you might have four or five Macs in your video editing suite, and they can all run the same version, because it obviously is from the App Store. It's the one account. So you're paying £179, and you could equip a whole editing studio of four, five, six Macs for under £200 with professional level video editing. And I think that there'll be, I think maybe Apple are trying to drive an explosion of the non-broadcast video, people that use that, you know, aren't the broadcasters that are making video, but are, you know, looking to expand into video production. I think it's probably going to be snapped up, and they'll learn Final Cut Pro 10 from the get-go because they've never used anything else.
But I mean, the point in the chat room here from JD is that the BBC's just bought 3,000 systems for Premiere, and they've completely overlooked Final Cut Pro. I mean, are they kicking themselves now, or are they very happy with their decision?
No, I don't think Final Cut Pro is aimed at them anymore. I think it's aimed at, as Will said, I think it's aimed at individuals, and I think it's aimed at small businesses, small enterprises with maybe sort of 10, 15 people, you know, ad production houses that are chirping out, you know, and, you know, commercial break advertising, and there's an Apple saying to them, look, this is good enough for you. You might not want to run a major international broadcaster on it, but, you know, God, you're going to save tens of thousands of pounds, hundreds of thousands of pounds a year off your bottom line by switching to Final Cut Pro. And for things like promotional videos, for music videos, for, you know, marketing companies and things like that, it's going to be an absolute godsend, and they'll buy Final Cut Pro by the bucket load.
I mean, there's a comment here in the chat room about video podcast generation being the ones that are going to invest in this quite heavily. And I mean, I think is there a question here that, you know, Apple have very much so over the last couple of months gone for the sensible, logical decisions that are about throwing their eggs into the baskets that are filling up more rapidly and walking away from the fanboy base that have always been loyal, always been at the high end of Mac, always using it in the pro markets because it's just worked. You know, there's Mar and Par and several others down at the lower end, and they're fulfilling that market constantly now. And we're going to see more and more and more of this. You know, things like Logic Pro and so on is going to be perhaps dumbed down even further and pushed out to be a replacement for, you know, attacking the Audacity thing, even though it's free.
Yeah. I really don't think they've dumbed it down, though. And I know what you mean, but I really don't think. I think they have actually built, you know, a pro level product, but they've done it in such a way that it's not just pros who can use it, you know. Pretty much anyone with a bit of training could actually use it. But if you wanted to take it to the pro level, you can do. I mean, there's tons of stuff that's built in there. Even the, you know, the background processing and stuff. I mean, let's not make any mistakes here. Final Cut Pro 7 is a bit of a dog. You know, it's very processor intensive. Lots of the, you know, there's virtually no background processing. It's very complex to learn and understand. Not very forgiving. And basically what they've done is they've sort of swept that away and created this new product, which is, you know, up-to-the-minute technology, it's background rendering, you know, super quick, really nice, easy to use, but again, with hidden depths. And it's only when you actually look into those hidden depths that you fully appreciate just what it's going to be capable of. So, you know, I see that they were never going to tick all the boxes on the first release, but, you know, give them 12 or 18 months once they've had a chance to build on it and to bring out some of the extra stuff that they're going to bring out. You know, I think it's still intended. It's a very clever move because I think it will be intended not so much for the consumer, but, you know, prosumer up to pro. It should actually fit the bill quite nicely.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually, with Don the same, because, and I don't know if it's really getting away from the fanboy or not. I think it's getting away from the expectations that we've had all these years of how we do software, how we install software. But we got to remember, Apple is a consumer company, and they've really become that way. And that's the reason why we're all sitting here talking about them right now, is because they are so popular. I agree with Don when I think they're going to build off of this, and there'll probably be add-ons and God knows what else is going to be coming, since it is through the App Store. I'll probably will try this, I'll find a 3-day weekend when I find one, buy the thing, and then really see how it is. But it sounds, by what Don is saying, it sounds enticing, and it sounds like it has a lot of room to grow. That's what I'm getting from you, Don.
You'll get this. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
You'll get this, Will. The day you cross 40, life begins to end at 40. You know, I pulled a muscle for the first time ever in my life when I was 40 and one day old, and I'd never had any muscle strains or anything like that before. And there's a certain expectation, a certain point where you realise I am getting older. And I think there's a point now coming where people that have been loyal Mac users and have been in the niche ends of the software, as a bigger picture here, are going to have to start realising that Apple don't care that much about them anymore. The eye of Apple is no longer on those individuals. It's on mass market.
So let's go over that analogy again. I'm 40.
Yeah.
You pulled a muscle. And what's this got to do with Final Cut?
What I'm saying is, dude, when you cross 40, you start to realise, actually, yes, I am getting older. And I think that with the way that Final Cut has gone, and with the way that they're now thinking about doing more and more around tablets and touch interfaces, because they're going for the market that's selling laptops, because that's where all their sales are, there's a watershed point here where Apple and people who have been loyal to Apple, have been the fanboys and have been at the pro end and those kind of things, are going to realise that Apple have no longer got their eye on maintaining those people to the same level and degree. They are looking to broaden themselves and move into and attract other people from other groups where the money is there. The cha-ching element of this has gone up. I walked away from Final Cut Express because I found it too confusing. When iMovie 9 came out, I just, what's the point? I've tried. I've had lessons with Will. I've had lessons with Tom. And Tom down at the Apple store at Sully Hill was God's right-hand man with Final Cut, wasn't he?
Very nice if God did have a
right-hand man for Final Cut. Yeah, if God made videos, yeah, Tom would be editing them. Promise God, you.
He would. If you ever want an ident done, Tom's your man.
He is definitely man, Tom Lewis. And he couldn't teach me. And as soon as iMovie 9 came out, I was like, oh, okay, I can do that now. That's it. And the thing is with Final Cut Pro X now, as it's come out, is I'm looking at it thinking, oh, that's a little bit more iMovie-ish. That's a little bit more up my street. I could do a lot more with that and get a lot more from it. And now I've actually thankful that I've listened to Don. You know, maybe it's just as hard, actually. Maybe I shouldn't do it. But the UI is suddenly, oh, glistening, and I can go back to that. And, oh, the Precious is back up, you know?
It's really horrible to go back to Final Cut Pro now, even though I've only used it for a few hours. The thing is with Apple, though, and the thing you've got to admire them for is that they... and it sort of fits into what you were saying about them not caring about people. I don't think it's so much that they don't care about people. I think they go for the option that they think is the right option. I mean, any other company that had developed a package like Final Cut Pro 7, you know, with this big installed base of people, you know, it's out of the arc, it's creaking all over the place, it's not a modern piece of software, horrible to use, and it's complex, etc. Any other company would have said, okay, well, you know, we can't just throw it out and start again. We'll just have to make compromises, and we'll add this feature in now. We'll add this feature in now. And, you know, over the next 2 years, we'll probably get some of the features that we in. It's not Apple's way. They just say, right, we can't move this forward any further. We've got all this new technology. We've got new operating systems. Everything's 64-bit. Let's just put a flag in the ground. Right, that's the end of that particular bit of legacy code, and we'll rewrite the entire package from scratch. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of pain.
But, you know.
Whoa, sorry. What was that, Andy?
It's just that Will's Don's description of like companies creaking at the seams, not, you know, legacy code, and I just thought to myself, oh, sounds a bit like Photoshop.
Well, exactly. I mean, look, how much pain did they have trying to, you know, rewrite Photoshop? But, you know, Apple just out with the old, in with the new, and letting them just move forward.
I think Photoshop's a good example there, because I've just got. Thanks to a little secret project, which we may talk about another time, we won't. I've just got Photoshop's Elements 9. Now, this is as powerful, pretty much, and does 99% of what I want to do on CS4, and it was £50 in Amazon. You know, I can see Adobe having problems with the pro users starting to go, Photoshop Elements does 99% of what I want to do. Do I really want to spend an extra £500 to get 5.56 if it comes out? And there's going to be a migration of people away from the pro apps back to the simpler stuff. And I think the pro apps perhaps are in a little bit of trouble. I think, you know, the point made in the chat room, this could be the beginning of the end for Final Cut Pro, might be valid.
Prolapse or pro apps?
Pro apps. Prolapse will occur as well, dude. Once you've gone 40, mate.
I had a letter from... Oh, what's that guy who's on the telly? He says, now you've reached 50. He said, you might want to think about putting some money aside for your funeral so your family don't have to worry about it. And if I choose to sign up for this, I get a free pen, which I don't have to send back, and a £25 Marks and Spencer voucher. How's that sound?
That's a sandwich, then.
What's his name? What's that bloke's name with the grey hair?
He's Michael Parkinson. Huh? Michael Parkinson does that at the
moment,
doesn't he?
That's him. Parky. Michael Parkinson.
He looks bloody good for 150, doesn't he? And considering he's been attacked by an emu.
Is it a good pen?
Huh? Is it a good pen? No, it's a Parker.
That's a Parker pen.
You see, there you go. There's marketing for you. There's marketing for you. Parker pens were the bee's knees in the 70s, and they're just cheap tut from China now. Right.
I went into Waitrose. And I was doing some shopping last week, and I thought, my handwriting is, as most doctors, my handwriting is absolutely filthy.
Dude, you know you're not a real doctor, though.
When I write out an invoice, they can't understand what I'm doing. So I went into Waitrose, and they had a fountain pen, Waitrose fountain pen. And I thought, I'll treat myself to a fountain pen, and I shall write lovely. I shall be the best handwriting person in the world. Put it in my shopping bag. That's the last I ever saw for it. I have no idea where it's gone. Didn't even open it. Lost it already.
Right, you do.
Are you pulling rank with us? With the old Waitrose there. I mean, I come out with my Marks and Sparks story, and then you come out with a Waitrose thing. What's going on there, then?
No, Marks and Spencers are above Waitrose.
No, they're not, are they?
Yes, they are.
Now, Waitrose prides itself on being more expensive. You were spotted at Waitrose, weren't you, Andy, last week?
I was. I was stalked by a Bagel Tech Mac podcast listener who came out and went, because I was wearing my Dr. Happy Mac gubbins, and he came out and he went, "Are you Dr. Happy Mac?" I was like, "Well, yes, probably." And
well, how are you going to hide? You got it written on your shirt.
No, it was really good. And he came and he said, "Oh, I love the podcast, and everyone is really funny, apart from Will." And
thank you. I'm not saying anything that Dr. Happy Mac sounds like a children's entertainer. No. How would you say to that?
Oh, it's getting personal, bitchy.
No, it was that. It was really, he didn't say anything nasty about Will. He just said he enjoyed it. It was really good to have a British one because he got really annoyed with the American podcasts and went on his way.
You do realise as well, you do realise, Andy, that you're not actually a doctor. Don't ever get confused by that. Don't live the dream, mate. It's just
I am every bit a doctor, that as much a doctor as Gillian McKeith is.
You are authorised for CPR, as in computer processor resuscitation, and nothing else. Don't turn up and say, actually, I'm a doctor of proctology or something like that. No, definitely not.
I've never said that.
Talking of proctology... You love this link. Talking of proctology, Rosetta's disappeared from the Lion SDK, it would seem. Is this a watershed, or is this pretty serious grief for a few people?
I mean, I don't know how many. To be honest, I did a quick look on my system of what apps are still using Rosetta, and it was like an old shareware package and a couple of other things that I never use anymore. So I think there's Quicken 2007. I think it's probably the most popular package that's still reliant on Rosetta. But I did hear a rumor that they were actually thinking of trying to embed bits of Rosetta into Quicken 2007 so it will run on Lion. Mm. But I don't think it's going to be that big a deal, to be honest.
I've installed it once for something, and I can't remember what I installed it for. But it's definitely on all my machines.
Yeah, if you go into All About the Mac and have a look at the system profiler thing and have a look at the applications, you can actually do a listing of any apps you've got installed that are still PowerPC apps that need Rosetta. So you can actually have a look, see what you've got on your system.
Chat room as well say if there's anything there. Is anyone running anything that needs Rosetta? Age of Empires 2.
Office 2008, I think, needs it.
No.
It does. That's what I did it for. It was Office, that's right.
This activation thing needs PowerPC.
What does?
Activation for Quark Express is a little mini application which is PowerPC still.
So will that use Rosetta, yeah?
Yep. Everything else on mine seems to be Universal or Intel.
Yeah, no, it's everything else. So so far, you're really badly hit if you're Quicken or if you like playing Age of Empires 2. Other side than that, you don't give a toss. No Rosetta here, says the chat room. No idea, says Paul. Paul also wants to know where you buy your pants from, Andrew. So,
my pants?
Yeah, I have no idea. There you go.
Tesco's.
the new Time Machine capsule out. A bit of a spec hike. 2 terabytes and 3 terabytes are your two options. A bit of a price bump as well as. Talking £400, $500 for the 3 terabyte version. Comes with a Wi-Fi system as well, though. So it's Airport Express as well, isn't it? Or Airport attached to it. Worth it, not worth it? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumb
sideways. So I like the idea of it, but the price is just too damn high for me.
Right, okay. So, I mean, given the choice of buying, not buying, you're saying a no based just on price. You like the idea of it. I mean, I've got to say, I've got an airport here and it runs very, very well. It's very, very stable, but...
Yeah, it's the price point for me, actually. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of an embedded kind of geek, too. Sometimes I like to build my own server, my network attached storage, and I'll do it my own way or whatever. But you know, as far as the upgrade, yeah, it's great. I'm still, I don't know, I'm one of these people too that's not really keen on Wi-Fi. I still want to plug it, so you know, that doesn't really matter to me or one way or another. The 3 terabytes, so for 400, a little pricey.
I drifted off a little bit at the start of this. What are we talking about?
Time capsule.
Maxwell, it's a Mac podcast.
Time capsule. And so what have they done to it?
Yeah, it's what you buried in your backyard, Will. No,
someone suggested earlier on that you two could lean together and kiss, and based on the way you're going, you may have to. No, time capsules.
Just buy an old 500 megabyte time capsule from, I don't know, some supplier on the internet that might sell used Mac parts. You could search Google for somebody like that. Just put used Mac, happy Mac, something like that. Anyway, you could get like a 500 gigabyte time capsule, rip the bottom open, buy a 2 terabyte hard drive from maybe the same place. I don't know. There must be some Mac doctor or something that will sell you something like that. And then you can just shove the 2 terabyte disk into your old time capsule, and you can have a 2 terabyte time capsule for £100.
Is it still going to recognize it? Okay, is the board going to work with an increase in disk size?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is to the limit, or can you, you know, if you can get a 3 terabyte disk,
if you could get a 3 terabyte drive, you'd be fine.
Yeah. It still will do it. Okay. There you go. There's your answer. I mean, there's a point in the chat room straight away. $100 for a router.
Will wants a spanking.
I want Andy to kiss my ass.
I've got no video. Which way do I turn? This way or this way?
You're going to have to. I'm going to regret this. You're going to have to move your ass a little bit closer to the crack in the screen.
Have I gone the wrong way?
No, you've gone the right way. You just need to get a bit lower and pucker. Put your lips together and blow, Will.
Oh, your head's disappeared.
Oh, thank you, Andy. I enjoyed that. That was lovely.
Steve suggested that actually what you could do is, instead of kissing his ass, is put your head firmly up it.
And often when I do that,
if you move close enough, it will disappear.
I still feel clean.
Dr. Happy Crack. I'm not taking credit for that. Steve in the chat room's come out with that one. Well done, mate.
I got a mate who came around earlier this week, and he's been conducting scientific experiments on his ass.
Oh, God. How scientific can you be about a butt?
Well, he had this theory about, you know, like you get the hair, or like a gentleman's ass has got the hair up it. He reckoned if you shaved the hair off, it would produce a different timbre of your farts. And so he did it, and it actually does. And so it's nice. It's fun. He recorded it before and after. That actually works.
That's bull.
It's serious.
That can't be true.
My mate Paul, you can ask him.
My mate Paul shaved the hair off his ass and changed the timbre of, you can't even say tone or pitch, timbre.
No, timbre. Yeah, because the idea being, you've got the hair in between, when it flaps, as it were, you know, as the air comes out, if the hair, it's not going to flap as hard as if there's no hair there. It's more, you know, it's like having, if you've got hairy palms and you clap, it's going to have a different sound.
If you've got hairy palms, mate, you're not clapping. That's a different disease.
Well, anyway, it was interesting. He came around the studio the day before yesterday.
So we couldn't give a toss about Final Cut Pro. We couldn't give a toss about the absence of Rosetta. Is there anything else left to talk about that we couldn't give a toss about?
No. Plenty, actually.
When you put it like that.
How about one for Will about a rumored of an Apple television coming out?
That's what I say, bulls.
Oh, there's a weekend of editing then.
Bulls. It's never going to come. We've had this conversation before. It is not going to come. And what did we bet £20 on this, didn't we?
Yes, who did you have £20 with? With Kyle.
You with Kyle, yeah. Yeah. We said, is it till this Christmas?
You got till this Christmas, and there'll be an Apple TV, says Kyle. There won't, says Will.
Yes. Yes, and I don't want any of these Filipino £20. I want a real one.
No, you don't want 20 pesos, damn it.
I want the Queen's head on this nose.
You won't even take $20 because, you know, I could probably still afford that. The dollar is more worthless than the pound right now.
What is it in Singapore? What's the, not Singapore, the Philippines. What are they doing over there? What's the currency?
It's a peso.
Is it?
What's the right? How many pesos to the dollar?
Right now, 43, I think, to the dollar.
So are you a millionaire now? A peso millionaire?
No, peso millionaire. No, not even a peso millionaire. Damn. Please don't bring me down anymore, man. Can we just talk more Apple news?
Matt Bits in the chat room is being serious. He's making a vote. Apple branded TV votes no. So the rest of you, let's have a vote yes or no, please.
Yes.
As to whether there's going to be an Apple TV or not. Will win £20 or will Kyle loses his shirt.
I'll probably lose my shirt anyways, but yes, there will be an Apple TV.
Cool.
Hmm. It just makes sense. It makes sense to me. We've got clouds. We've got rain probably on the way. I mean, no, I mean, seriously, it just makes sense to me. All this, the iOS stuff, all of it. I'm saying there's going to be a TV. It's their most ideal place to go right now. I mean, they are a consumer-based media consumption company right now. They've got to make a TV. They will make a TV.
The chat room's disagreeing with you. Everyone said no.
Okay.
But British Mac fan Steve has said, but if they did, I'd buy one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really torn with this one because I really want them to, but I don't know if they would or not because it's such a... I mean, it is a consumer device, but, you know, I don't know. I really get the feeling that the Apple TV itself, you know, the actual, you know, little hockey puck thing, they could easily license the technology behind the Apple TV to other existing TV makers and actually build that into, you know, Samsung and, well, I don't know about Sony, but, you know, they could actually license that quite easily and have it built into existing TVs. Whether or not they'd actually take that next step and create their own, I'm really not sure. But I think they would probably like to, because then they've got that everything, haven't they? They've got the full user experience then. Because, you know, I mean, I bought a new TV, a Panasonic TV, about 3 or 4 months ago, and it's great as a TV, but the built-in features are horrible.
Yeah, I mean,
the access to YouTube and stuff, it's all there, but it's just nasty. And I'm sure Apple would like to do that properly, but I don't know, it's just such a huge, I don't know, it's just such a big purchase for the consumer. It's not like, obviously, the Apple stuff is quite expensive anyway, the computers, etc. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it just doesn't sit right with me that they would actually want to go down that route of having a range of TVs. I don't know.
Mgetsky in the chat room is saying, why do Apple need to make a screen? They've already got a black box. Kev is saying it's starting to make sense with iCloud coming along potentially, which is a really good point. But then Alex is saying, well, surely then it's just a case of that point, AirPlay being integrated in by the manufacturer. So we've actually got a third way there. So is there an Apple TV? Yes, no. Are we saying that AirPlay-enabled TVs is a draw, or are we saying that Will still gets the credit for that?
Oh, I think I still get the credit for it. That's my opinion.
No, I got to say that's my opinion as well. Sorry, dude, but I think Will still wins if it's an AirPlay enabled TV. It's got to have.
It has to be an Apple brand.
I'll send him 20 pesos.
It's got to be black, piano shiny.
Personally, I hope they don't make one because I probably couldn't afford it, and I'd really want it. So.
I've been checking out TFT screens. I want to get another TFT screen because it's really tricky just working on a 15-inch. Laptop. A couple of things that I've been looking around. The first thing, I still can't quite justify why Apple's screen is 900 quid and everybody else is about 200, between 200 and 300. And the second thing is, if I get the Apple screen, for instance, and I connect it to my Mac, the Apple screen still isn't, Thunderbolt enabled. And so I've only got one Thunderbolt port on my Mac computer, so then it's going to screw future upgradability, which I find rather annoying.
You'd have to have a hub, yes.
And you don't like
hubs.
They've released Thunderbolt.
Apple cinema displays are going to get, they'll be the next in the line. They'll come out with Thunderbolt on them. They have to.
Yeah, but are they going to have a Thunderbolt hub built into them that relays it then?
Oh, I reckon
because
so,
at the moment, if Will's only got the basic iMac, he's got one Thunderbolt port and nothing else. So he's got to go to hub, otherwise he's screwed.
Mm. And if you look,
the Apple cinema displays have always been good on, throughputs and stuff like that. And I must say that there's two things in my life that I've looked back on and think, you know, I'm so bloody glad I bought that because I just love it. And one was my A3 Wacom tablet, which was about the best, whatever it was, 400 quid I ever spent on anything ever. And the other one is my Apple cinema display, which is, I just love the fact that it's got the brilliant speakers, it's got a camera, it's got a microphone, it's got all the bits, USB, and it powers my Mac. It's one of the best bits of kit I've bought.
I don't think the point that Will's making is that it's bad. The quality's good, but the quality's not super duper better from everything else, and the price really is up to twice as much as.
And it's absurd.
Panels are a lot better than nearly. I mean, if you buy
the panels are Panasonic panels
on Amazon for half the price, I don't think it's anywhere near as luminous.
The panels are just standard third-party panels from either LG or Panasonic, depending on which generation you bought.
Yeah, they're much better. They are. There's two sorts of panel, isn't there? And Apple use the most expensive sort, and nearly everyone else uses the least expensive sort.
I can't show you a picture of it because it's here, but I've got a 30-inch Hasbro monitor, and my 30-inch Hasbro has got the same panel as the Apple 30-inch monitor because there's only one manufacturer that made them at the time. And it's exactly, the spec is the same. Apple's was 1,300 quid. This one was 500 quid.
Exactly. You know what I'm going to do?
Go.
I'm going to go out on a leaf right now, not a limb, on the leaf. And I'm going to bet Will another 20 pesos.
A whole 50 pence.
Yeah, that's right. That they're going to call this thing the Apple Cinema TV.
You going to take that bet?
The Apple Cinema TV.
Yeah.
And so I go into this shop, right?
Cinnamon, apple.
Apple cinnamon, yeah.
Apple cinnamon TV,
some marshmallows.
Let's be honest, we've come to a point now that there's hardly any difference between a display and a TV because most of the technology that drives the TVs is outside the box, be it a Sky.
It's 1920 thing. By 1080, yep.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference? Why are they going to make a product that is dying? Why would they do that? Are they going to shove a Blu-ray DVD player in there as well?
No. Nothing's going to be physical anymore. It's going to be this cloud thing. Yeah, I'm going to say that. Apple Cinema TV in stores this December. RAO will 40 pesos.
Apple Cinnamon TV. There you go. Matt Bits in the chat room saying the Hasbro 27-inch at the moment is 350 quid.
Exactly.
So you're talking three more inches and double the size. Well, three more inches and half the price, rather. You're also...
Is that Hasbro or Hasbro?
Hasbro. Hasbro make kids' toys, mate. And sweets, I think. Hasbro, yeah. The other thing you've got is Hyundai make great monitors. I've got a 28-inch Hyundai to the right of me, 30-inch here, and it's crystal clear. It's beautiful. And also, at the moment, I keep wanting to say Hopage, but they make the TV things. It begins with an H.
Yeah, it is Hopage, isn't it?
No, they make the TV converter things. It's not Hopage. Ansprey.
Oh.
They make fantastic TVs and monitors. I bought a 28-inch TV for my parents for their back room, and it's a Ansprey, and it's absolutely super gorgeous. The only thing that's bad with it is that the speakers are underpowered, but, I mean, the cost of an extra speaker, you know, who cares?
This 27-inch, what's the name of it?
Hasbro, Hazro.
No, the other one that's just the same as a cinema display.
Hasbro.
We're just talking about it a minute ago.
Hasbro.
It's or not. You can get the Hasbro version with Legos around it.
No, we talked about it a second ago.
My 30-inch.
That's Hasbro.
You're talking about my 30-inch monitor?
Yeah.
My 30-inch monitor is a Hasbro. Hazro.
Right.
And they also, but they don't make them anymore. The only one you're able to get is a 27-inch, but the 27-inch is 350 quid, according to Matt Bits. Have you got a link there, dude, for him to click? Proper photo screens cost £4,500, says Alex G. Fox. Thanks,
I was looking around for a display that had a mini display port built in, and there was one. It came out last year, but it seems to have been... It's done by an American company. It looked exactly the same as a cinema display, pretty much all aluminium and stuff. Again, half the price. But it looks superb, but you just can't get them anymore.
There's a correction from Matt Bits. He's put it's at overclockers.co.uk, and he's saying the correction is that it's a 27-inch. It's 399, not 350, but that gives you 2560 by 1440 resolution, which is the same as the 30-inch panel. The 30-inch
panel
is more than half the price. More than half the price of the one that you pay for the Apple one. And it's the same panel, I wager. Exactly the same panel. Anything else we want to talk about?
Andrew's gone very quiet. Why have you gone quiet?
He's got the mute on.
Oh, so what did it?
I'm back.
He's back.
I'm back.
I saw that your client popped in the room. Did he not want to come on and offer an opinion?
No, they were discussing whether they wanted an HDMI cable running from the monitor they're putting in their meeting room. So we could, what would they do about that? What can we do about that? They've got a meeting room downstairs. They've got a big telly in it. And they were saying, should we run an HDMI cable from the telly to plug the Macs in? But there's no real wireless solution, is there? There's nothing. I mean, you could put an Apple TV next to it, but then you'd be limited with what you could AirPlay to it.
I'd say you could go with just a hardwired connection with a socket, yeah?
Yeah.
You're better off probably, if it's got HDMI in there, you'd probably be better off with an HDMI cable than a, it's not HDMI, DVI, if you're not doing audio.
Yeah, probably.
But it depends what it's got as a connection on the back.
I swear I just heard a pin drop. I swear it. No, never mind. What are we talking about the iPhone 5?
Because it's not really
exist.
Oh, because Bloomberg's confirming this week that it's coming in September.
Okay, let's talk about iPhone 5 rumors. You started this. You carry on then, dude. Tell us all about it, Kyle. Jack and Ori.
4.3-inch screen. It'll be running iOS 5.
Is it going to have a TV on it?
No, that'll be the one in the living room.
It's going to be running iOS 5. That's hardly a frigging scoop. I predict that at 6 o'clock I'll eat dinner.
Well, aren't I amazing? A little bit more. Can we pull some news out of your butt, please?
No, Will's only full of it.
Hold on, I haven't said anything wrong in this podcast. I've been.
You've had me. I've got to say, mate, when you bent up and stood over, I thought you were going to show the big brown winking eye for a second.
I'm a 40-year-old mature individual. I don't do that sort of thing.
The chocolate
anymore.
Starfish needs to stay in the wrapper, dude.
as they would say in South Park, Mr. Hankey.
Mr. Hankey.
All I can say, you've got a very perverted mind.
There's some guy or something who reckons he's seen the iPhone 5 and taken a picture of it in a bar, and it's kind of like, hang on a minute, that sounds familiar. It's the Gizmodo people, isn't it? Again, all over. Yeah. But I don't see it.
I don't believe that either. I think Apple will be careful with this one this time. You never know, I suppose. You also got to think about it. When these kind of things happen, even though Apple says they hate it, but it's also great publicity for them. It gets everybody talking about this thing months before it's out. And, you know, let's face it, we were all pretty hyped about seeing the iPhone 4 months before it was even out.
But, I mean, are we really going to see an iPhone 5 in autumn? Because that's too soon, surely. I mean, you're kind of like about 18-month cycles on these.
No.
And all of a sudden, we'll
see. It depends if they want to get it out for the Christmas, the holiday season, don't they? Mm. I suppose.
I mean, the long and the short of it is Apple have got very good at doing the exact opposite or completely flummoxing people that try making predictions. I've given up with that because I get them all frigging wrong. But it all seems a little bit too soon for me. And are they going to try and just keep going iOS 5, therefore iPhone 5, iOS 6, therefore iPhone 6. You know, they kind of hit this stride now. But, I mean, iOS goes across so many different devices that it doesn't seem to make any sense to just brand it and tie it to the iPhone at all.
I don't know. I think the thing is, though, with the autumn thing is that they used to have a keynote every year, didn't they, just before the holiday season, where they'd bring out, you know, they'd roll out all the new iPads. All the new iPods, all the MP3 players for the, you know, for the Christmas market. And of course, now that the iPod Touch and the iPhone's taken over from the old traditional iPods, if they do another, because they will do an event in September, what else are they going to promote? They would really have to promote the iPhone and the new iPod Touch at that point with iOS 5, exactly.
The Apple Cinema TV.
No, that's going to be the iTV if it comes out that.
Has anyone bought ITV.com? No?
Probably ITV have.
Yeah, ITV, yeah.
Oh,
well. .co.uk.
Duh. It's been a long night.
Well, that rumor's squashed now. Next.
Oh, they'll just use it anyway, and then they'll pay off ITV. They've got enough cash in the bank, haven't they? So.
The iCufflinks, Alex is putting in the chat room, the little illuminated start buttons that were in, they were nice, but they were a bit pricey. They were something like $100, weren't they? $120. Not too good at all. I'm not that much of a member. Oh, did you see the acrylic thing that makes it look like you've got your you've stolen it from the Apple store?
Oh, the iPad stand.
Yeah, so you know they put all the iPad 2s in the Apple stores now so that you can find information about the device that you're next to browsing. Well, someone's manufactured an acrylic thing that looks exactly the same that you put your iPad in and you put your iPhone in and it charges both and syncs both. But it's $75 for a piece of hollowed out acrylic, which is kind of pricey. Production costs are about $5, I would have said on that.
I got a very nice, you can get it on eBay, and it came from Taiwan. In fact, I'll show you. Hold on.
What a smooth pan that is.
Can you see? Is it? Can you see it?
Is that your office?
Yeah.
You got a sofa in your office?
My casting couch.
Oh.
He's got a sofa and a love seat.
Right. What have you bought?
Oh, you can't see it. There's it's an Apple lamp. It was only like 15 quid off eBay.
An Apple branded lamp. It's bull
branded.
No,
it's a rip-off, you know.
Oh right,
but
okay,
it's,
cool.
It's like 15 quid and it's really nice and it's got a, you know, you switch it, well, its functionality is very similar to the traditional lamp. Except it's in the shape of an apple.
There's a comment in the chat room, "You're stupid, that's a window." I just got to admit that I added the "you're stupid" bit. I just couldn't.
Oh, realize. Okay, fair enough.
I thought about it, I'd added, "you're old and stupid." Go.
Will, is that a touch lamp?
This one? That one over there? Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's got a touch switch on it.
Can you get a picture on it?
I'm really not being a smart ass here.
Oh, right, go on, sorry.
It's a touch lamp.
It's a touch lamp.
What?
A touch how, though, dude? I mean, appropriately, or...?
No. No, you know the lamps. Okay, you remember, I don't know. Maybe it was an 80s thing. We used to have one when I was a kid. Is that you would touch it and you'd tap it and tap, and the light would go brighter and then it'd shut off. Touch lamp.
Alex is suggesting that Apple has patented the sun and it's now been rebranded as the iLight. The
possible.
iSun.
That's quite.
How's the dog going? Any more poo production?
I'll do another smooth pan and you can see him. You can see him.
He's fast asleep. Having crapped on your sofa, he's now fast asleep in it.
He's not doing too bad. Can you see him?
Yeah, we can
there
see him. Yeah.
There he is. He's not doing too bad. The poo eating seems to have drawn to a close, which is nice. This morning we had a bit of a problem with the cleaning the kitchen, but you know, the trouble is when he has a piss, because the kitchen's on a bit of a slope, I've got this old big 1950s fridge and the dog rolls down the slope and collects underneath the feckin' fridge. So then in the morning, like 6 o'clock, I have to move the whole fridge. And this isn't just a little fridge. This is a big, big old fridge. Move that out of the way and then mop it up. And, so at 6 o'clock in the morning, you don't need it. You don't need it, do you?
No, absolutely.
And the other thing, I told you about it, he's crapping on the just where the neighbour's back door. So when they walk out the back door, they tread straight in it.
No, I'll send money to keep that going. That's you need to reinforce that kind of behaviour.
Well, they tread it all in that house.
20 paces from me.
It's awful.
Right.
It's quite saucy, my neighbours, as well.
I guess we've run out of Apple conversations.
No, I'm totally blown it now, aren't I?
Will's Tom Tit.
I tried.
Yes, you did. Our sponsors, UK2.net, fabulous, fabulous, funky people. If you go to UK2.net, then please support them because they support us. What we'd like you to do is go to our website, bageltechnews.com, and then scroll down to the bottom and you'll see a connection there, a little link through that says powered by UK2.net. Click on that and then they'll know that we've sent you. Even if you want to log into your account, they'll still know that you're affiliated to Bagel Tech. You don't have to buy anything. Have a cruise around there. If you see some of the services that they've got, domain names, e-commerce stuff, co-location services, VPS servers, that kind of thing, then you can just click on it, buy it, put it in your basket, and when you get to checkout, use the offer code BagelTech, all one word. And when you do that, you're going to get 15% off whatever it is that you've bought in your purchases. Absolutely fantastic deal from them. Thank you very much. No one else that they work with is getting 15%. We're getting 15%. I can't say too much just at the minute, but if you get a charge that you're not expecting, don't stop, buy it, and then send me an email about it, and I'll have a chat to you about it offline. But we'll change. Excuse my daughter screaming in the background, but we'll change it for you and we'll sort it out. UK2.net, we've had a few conversations with them. There's a lot of you have been buying a lot of their services, so from not just saying thank you very much to UK2, thank you very much to everyone that listens who has supported our sponsor, because it means an awful lot to us and it means an awful lot to them as well. As they're very grateful, we're very grateful also. Don't forget old Don McAllister there, because Screencasts Online, if you haven't seen them, you really have got to. If you've got any pieces of software that go with the Mac that you're not sure how to use, there's a very good chance Don's done something on them at some point. Go to Screencasts Online and you can get the offer code BagelTech and you'll get 50% off your first 3 months membership with Don, and it's a service that I personally couldn't have done without it when I first started with Mac. Don was my aid, my guide.
Old Don McAllister.
Don McAllister did a screencast. E-I-E-I-O. Right. Have we got any cool thingies? Don, would you like to start us off?
Go on then. I'll do this one, which is an application that is very useful. It's a bit specialized, really. It's a bit of a niche product. But if you do, what I tend to do when I'm sort of developing websites and things and creating code is sometimes I like to use a spreadsheet to generate some code, you know, if it's something I'm doing repetitively. And I always copy and paste the text from a spreadsheet into a website. But whenever you do that, you get all sorts of funny characters, and it the formatting sometimes goes a bit awry. So I use a package called Clean Text, which allows you to drop any text into it, and it will then go through and fix it for you. So if you've got like double quotes in there, it'll change them to single quotes. If you've got curly quotes, it'll change them to straight quotes. It will remove, multiple, if you've got incorrect paragraph marks or multiple paragraph marks, and search and replace. It's really, really neat. And I use it quite a bit, especially when I'm creating the show each week, because as I say, I tend to generate a lot of the web content via spreadsheets and other various bits and pieces. And I run it through clean text, and that takes all the crap out and leaves me with some nice clean text at the end of it that I can safely paste into my
website. Is this intelligent, or is it... Is it intelligent? Is it analysing the sentence structure, et cetera, et cetera? Or is it?
Not really, no. There's basically, when you pull your text in, I've got it in front of me now, it gives you a left-hand margin, which has got things like fix, transform, change, case, convert, and you can make selections and run those particular actions. You can also specify things that you want to replace manually. There's also a macro system in there as well, so if there's things that you do all the time, you can create macros that will actually run through and do that for you. But that's, Clean Text by API Mac, or Appy Mac, not Happy Mac, Appy Mac, over at apimac.com.
Price?
Yeah, it's not...
it's not free, is it?
Dramatically expensive. Hang on, let me have a quick look. It's about... they do a single user, which is about 13 quid, 13 or 14 quid, and then they do a family pack for £22.
Excellent. Needs to be in the Mac App Store. I think it is, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I think it probably is, actually. Actually, this is one that I've had for ages and then forgot about it. And then I ended up, I'd already bought it, and then I bought it again to the Mac App Store, I think. So I've actually.
Yeah, no, it's available in the Mac App Store. So you'll get five licenses straight away with that, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Clean Text takes the crap out. You didn't slip that one past them, Don. Bad luck, mate. Kyle, have you got one for us?
I do. You know how much I love Flack. I mean, I have my life's in Flack. I love it to death. And I found this app through the App Store. It's called the Flack Player. And it allows you on your iPhone, your iPod Touch, your iPad, it allows you to play Flack files natively back on your device. Now, I know with Flack, 32 gigabytes, it's not a whole lot of space. Don't get me wrong. But it's one of these things where I just like the sound of FLAC. It's natural to me. It decodes 24-bit. Of course, the hardware output's only 16, of course. But it sounds fantastic. It's not cheap. It's almost $10 in the U.S. store. It's $9.99. So you have to be a diehard FLAC fan. But I am enough, and it plays the music. Plays it great.
What's your typical consumption with FLAC? I mean, I've been sitting thinking about whether I should do FLAC and stuff. But, I mean, I'm always cautious of the fact I'm just going to completely lose hard drive space. I mean, what's the consumption for like 10 songs or 100 songs? Or
well, let's for say a compression ratio of say 9, or I usually just say I don't want it compressed that much when using FLAC, so I just go all the way up to 10. Usually a standard say 40 minute CD is going to be about 360 megabytes. It's a little bit less than what a standard wave would do. It's all about quality, really. And if I'm an audiophile, I just love it. I love the sound of vinyl still. And I have a lot of CDs that are what are called Mobility Fidelity Sound Labs, which are MFSL CDs. And I want to retain those on my server or on my iPod or wherever. So it's I don't know. I just love FLAC. And I think if you're a diehard audio fan, you do have your things encoded in FLAC.
Excellent. Good pick. I've cocked up there. Handy, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a freebie thingy.
Whoa, we like free.
interesting because I'm not sure how they're going to do with the name. And everyone has big love for Dropbox, which is kind of the daddy of syncing online and things. But they kind of dropped
the ball. Not for 4 hours the other day.
Yeah, they dropped the ball big time. in allowing, you know, this massive password snafu to go up, you know, to be running live for 4 hours without telling anybody. And then not recovering themselves by pretending it wasn't as big a deal as it was. But anyway, apart from that, up until then, anyway, Dropbox has been, you know, pretty much the big boy and the, you know, the go-to for drop and sync and stuff like that. But I have found a little free app called cloud.app, which is available in the App Store until Apple stamp on them for using the word cloud, because it's even got
they now own it, yes, of course.
Yes, but it's great because you download it, it's a little tiny thing, and it goes in your menu bar, and you can just when it's in the menu bar, you just click on a file and you drag it over to the menu bar and you drag it on top of your little cloud app thing in the menu bar, and it uploads it to cloud storage. There's no folders to open, there's no click things, you just drag it onto the little thing. And the cloud animates and sprinkles away, and whatever it is you've done just uploads up onto the cloud instantly. Bing, mine's just done.
Right,
just
that's your timer. Image.
The other good thing is they've got these little things that they call raindrops, which is cute, which is, there's basically a keyboard command, which is control option R. And depending on what app you're in, that little raindrop will do various items. So if you're in iTunes and you have a tune selected, you just hit control option R and it uploads that tune to the cloud. If you're in Safari, you just press control option R and it uploads that URL to the cloud. If you're in screen grab or whatever, you don't even have to, you just press control option R and it just uploads that grab to the cloud. So great. They've built in this little API that allows you to configure how what this one key comes. You only have to learn the one key command, and other apps can take advantage of that in whatever way that they think's best for their app, which is kind of inverted, because much although I love something like Alfred, which is brilliant, it's just like there's too many, like I can't learn that many key commands. And what I like about cloud is I've only got the one key command to learn, and it's the app, it's the behavior in each app that changes, which is an interesting thing. And it's, and there you go. Great. Cloud.app, available from the App Store for free, and give it a go.
Cheers, mate. Will, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, again, I think mine's the only iOS one this week, isn't it? I think.
I've got and one.
Have you got an iOS one?
Mine's an iOS one.
For the iPad, and basically turns your music collection on your iPad into the universe.
Go ahead.
And that's how it started.
Yeah. I'm not taking the mic.
The iBang.
No, it's cool.
So instead of getting stoned on your head and going, imagine if there was a whole universe inside this other universe. You're going to be sitting there going, imagine if the whole universe just started from Will's iTunes collection.
For anyone that's listening that keeps asking about this being an hour, I tried.
That's only because we're on about fucking Final Cut 10 for a few hours, isn't
it? Oh, it's my fault.
Yes. Yes.
My fault too.
Dude, get on with the frigging pick.
Oh, okay, sorry. Planetary, right, I'll tell you what. Because you've got this high-def thing going on now. Can you see that?
It's a ring of letters. Go ahead.
Right, so each artist is a sun. Each album under the artist is a moon. And each song is a planet orbiting the moon. I think that's, or is it the other way around?
No, anyway, moon goes around the planet, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this app by Sting?
It's very spiritual. So anywhere you as well. So I'm going to click P for, and I haven't got much on the iPad because it's only got the 16 gig job. Can you see that?
I don't know about Sting, but this sounds like it's going to go on forever.
No, it's go not. On, look, anyway, so there you go. I can hear a sun. See a sun. So I click on the sun in my little universe, and it's all 3D, and you can sort of touch swipe and all that business.
Yeah.
There's the sun. Can you see that?
Yeah, got you good. Yeah.
And then you'll see. I'm sure something more should be happening by now.
Fabulous pick, dude.
Oh, here we go. I'm zooming into the moon. Oh, this is wrong. I've chosen the wrong letter. That's why there's nothing.
Have you tried iTunes yet? Because you can find it really frigging really quick in iTunes, mate, and play it no problem. It's the way of the future.
Hold on. It's going to be worth it. So I've clicked on the sun. So I've zoomed into the sun. Now I can see some planets knocking around the sun.
Aren't you supposed to be hearing music at this point yet, though?
So what I've done there...
What haven't you done in that time?
It's free anyway. It's a bit of a laugh. If you've had a few and you want to explore your music collection in a totally revolutionary way, which is a bit spacey and a little bit trippy, if I'm truthful.
Have you? Are you sober at this point, Will?
I am.
Right,
I
so this thing's taking you 5 minutes to navigate to a Prince track sober. If you're drunk, that's an entire sodding night.
Yeah, you've got to expand your mind with this. It is a little bit trippy, and it's a totally different way of looking at your music. That your music creates the universe, and and you and the universe become one.
Matt Bits in the chat room has given a better definition by far. Launch Planetary, put on Dark Side of the Moon, turn off the lights, and watch.
I was thinking
Inagata
Devita.
Don, you want to knock out a thingy on this? I'll do it.
Planetary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but Don's show's only last half an hour, mate.
By the way, so there's already a tutorial on that one, but I've used that one. It's quite nifty. Quite nifty.
How long did it take you, Don? Trust me, because the definition of nifty is not contained in what we just saw.
Yeah, but Don is a skilled broadcaster. He's very good at this sort of stuff. And I'm sure he could navigate the universe far better than I could.
Well, he controls Apple. They don't launch anything until Don says so. So there we go. That's
it. I bet Purple Haze plays excellent on that thing.
It is trippy, honestly. Especially as the dark room and stuff like that. But if you've loaded it full of music, you explore this universe of all these artists, and they're all sort of interlinked as well. I don't know how it interlinks them. I assume by genre or something like that. And it's really funny. You zoom around the universe, check out the moons and suns, and listen to a song, and then move off somewhere else. And
apparently has a genius feature.
Is it?
I'm just saying. Said it. Never mind. I'm going to shut up so Ewan can do his pick.
Genius and Will Green are not synonymous. I bet it burns pretty well with lighter fluid on it as well. Right. My pick is basically iOS apps work because they realize you can play them on the toilet. You can play a game and get something done and finish during toilet time. So things like stick cricket, one match on stick cricket is perfect for the morning motion. And if you've got any applications that seem to be like really in-depth gamer, 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 they tend to fail, I think, a little bit in the iOS store because people have realized that they just want this short game to play and something that's very doable and very playable. Now, a lot of the snooker applications are really hard to do. You've got to sit and practice and practice and practice them, and no one has got the time to do it. But International Snooker HD has come out on the iPad, and the graphics are really, really clean and stunning, and a frame of snooker takes you about 6 or 7 minutes. So it's perfect timing for the morning motion. There we go.
You alternate between two apps, Ewan. You've only got two apps. You've got that stick cricket one, and you've got the snooker one.
No, I recommended snooker before on the iPhone, but they've brought out a version for the iPad now.
Oh, that's so different.
Piss off, Green. At least mine, I went through mine faster than you did, and I had an explanation.
What are we going to have next week, then? Are they going to bring it to OS X?
We'll have you on a spike rolling over the hot flames.
Let's have stick cricket on OS X next week.
Oh man, the things you could do with an enema.
Oh, there's the show title.
You took the piss out of me. You began your review with the reason they design applications is for people who go to the toilet in the morning.
No, I'm saying I think the most successful iOS applications are the one you can pick up and play and put down within a 5 to 7 minute period.
Why do you think enema?
Because they fit with the morning motion. Chat room, tell me I'm wrong.
The eye enema.
Well, Final Cut Pro is the biggest seller on the App Store for OS X at the moment, isn't it? How does that work then?
Yeah, but that's OS X, not iOS. Stick with the program. Listen to the conversation, for Christ's sake.
Right, go on then.
So iOS applications are successful if they're 5 to 7 minutes to play one cycle of them. because they fit with the Daily Motion. There should be bog cricket. There should be bog snooker. I'm telling you, bog range of apps. That's what you need. Bog apps.
Bog apps.
You mark my words, mate, in a few years. In 5 to 7 minutes, you might need a bit more fibre, says the chat room.
I was going to say, is that before or after breakfast? Because if you have oatmeal, then you might need two games.
I don't know why I come here on a Friday.
What do you mean to up your game with your crappy application choices? I mean, seriously, I've heard that snooker one 3 times, and the stick cricket, a good half dozen.
Oh, man. Come back next week. Listen to Will talk up his arse some more. We got some other things to get through. Wirecaster got a competition with us. They give us the software that drives a video that actually bloody works now, thanks to JD. Cheers, mate. They have given us 4 copies to give away. So June, we've got a copy to give away. It's going to stop next Friday. So when we start the Bagel Tech Bash in a couple of weeks, it'll all be gone. We'll have a new one then. The next Friday, at the time that we start the Mac show, the competition will be closed. All you've got to do is send me an email that says, I deserve a copy of Wirecast because, and give me a good reason, whether it's witty, funny, heart-rending, whatever you want, and I'll pick a winner, and the judge's decision will be final. And you get a free copy of Wirecast, $500 worth of software, free of charge. $500 of software, sorry. There's a logo on the homepage. If you go and click it on Bagel Tech News, it'll open up an email browser for you, and you can send it to us. There you go. The other thing is, we've got the Bagel Tech Bash in 2 weeks' time. It's the 8th of July, a big barbecue, tons of beer, and we're going to do all the shows with everyone who turns up. So if you're here, you'll be on the panel by default. There'll be microphones akimbo and plenty of beer drunk. First, the party starts at 1 o'clock with the Mac show, and then we'll do that live, and then sometime during the afternoon we'll do the photo show, and then we'll do the big show at 10 o'clock, and then the party will start, and we'll just drift off when we do, and there'll be plenty of spaces to sleep, and we'll all get drunk. Bagel Tech Bash, 8th of July. You need to send me an email, otherwise you won't know where it is.
Then we can use Will's app.
Yeah, we can use Will for something when he comes up. Pinata.
I've upset you now, haven't I?
Yeah, shut up. So then the last thing is the London Mac user group, Elmug, has got a special event on the 18th of July. Hopefully it's going to coincide with the launch of Lion, but I've got a horrible feeling it could be the week after. But we're going to sit and chat about Elmug. We're going to record it all and broadcast it all live. It's Monday, the 18th of July. I'll be there. Don McAllister, you're still coming?
Yeah, I'm still planning on coming along.
Will, you're welcome to attend as well if you want. If you can still walk.
I don't want to after all the...
No.
Go on, so what is it then? So it's in a pub, is it?
It's at the Wood Barrel of Bone pub in Northwest One, and there's going to be a very special panel there doing a live broadcast, and we're going to record it as well and push it out on the Bagel Tech photo, Bagel Tech Mac stream. And there's special guests.
Ooh.
And there's one special guest coming who's promised that he's going to come, and he's going to be a nice person to have there, but we can't say who it is yet because he hasn't confirmed. But he's a Mac user.
So he said he's coming, but he hasn't confirmed.
Yeah, he's a Mac user and he's pretty famous, so there you go.
Okay.
Who is it then?
That's Chris Forsman dialing in for the photo show, which should have started 5 minutes ago, thanks to your pick. I've had to reject him. So there you go, that's the lot. We'll be back again next week with the Bagel Tech Mac show at 1 p.m. on Friday as normal. Everyone will be here apart from Will because he can't attend, he says.
I can.
No, you really can't.
I'm just curious. Where can we get a hold of everybody? I'd like to get a hold of Don.
You can get Don at Scrooge. No, okay. Where can we get a hold of this? I should have started the freaking photo show 10 minutes ago.
I thought that was at 3 o'clock now.
Don, where can we get a hold of you? Make it quick.
ScreenCastOnline.com.
Thank you, mate. Where can we get a hold of you, Carl?
Twitter.com/CarlSwagger.
Not fast enough. Where can we get a hold of you, Will? Yeah, who cares? Where can we get a hold of you, Andrew?
Do you know what the funny thing is?
We're right? done.
You know, like, feck, has got an E in it, and it means exactly the same as
Hey, dude!
And everyone knows that, but you can say, like, feck as much as you like. But you
edit it again! I'm not playing cricket on Sunday now, thanks to you.
Yeah. Why... Anyway, that annoyed me. That's annoyed me.
But it's because kids don't understand what feck means.
Of course, no, that's true. They don't, do they? Also, what's annoying is the fact that you can never get Sandy Toksvig on TV without her mentioning that she's from Denmark.
Well, she's proud, clearly.
Or a lesbian.
I've got to say, also, I find a piece of bacon more attractive.
Also, yeah, at Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter.
We'll be back again next week. Some of you may not be. Have a good week. Thanks for listening. Really, thanks for listening. And close.
Oh, God. I gotta go pee my pants. Hang on.